Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Verse 19. The Lord God says, all that openeth the matrix is mine. And every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. None shall appear before me without a sacrifice. All belong to me. And the ass, the firstling of the ass, must be redeemed. But if you refuse to redeem him, break his neck. Throughout the Mosaic dispensation, every day in the nation of Israel began with the sacrifice of a lamb, a morning sacrifice by which men and women came to God and God met with his people. Every evening concluded the same way, with a lamb, sacrificed at the door of God's tabernacle, by which men and women came to God, and God met with his people. The lamb sacrificed was given to the children of Israel as a token both to the one who brought the sacrifice and to the one who offered the sacrifice, the priest in Israel. It was a token of the certain thing God had promised from the beginning, the accomplishment of redemption by Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was slain for our sins before the world began. All that's in the Old Testament law, all the ceremonies, all the rituals, all the priesthood, all the sacrifices, all the laws, all the commandments, all the holy days, the tabernacle, the temple, all the furnishings of the tabernacle and temple, all the priests, the high priest and his garments, and the priests who served with him and their garments, everything in the law was given by God to be a type, a picture, a shadow of that which was to come. Turn over to the book of Hebrews. Hold your hands here in Exodus and look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews the 10th chapter. A very familiar text of Scripture, but one that needs to be clearly understood and remembered always as we read the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. I recall years ago, someone said to Brother Charlie Payne, said, I don't understand the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus. How can you possibly understand those books and all those laws and ceremonies? Charlie said, read the book of Hebrews. That's the explanation. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Do you want to know what the law means? What the ceremonies were? What the sacrifices implied? The law having a shadow of good things to come. The law, all the law, was a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. The shadow doesn't have any power. The shadow can't do anything. The shadow accomplishes nothing. It's not the very image of those things, and can never, with those sacrifices, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. The law could not accomplish anything. Those morning and evening sacrifices could not accomplish anything, but they pictured something. They pictured redemption accomplished by Jesus Christ our Lord, by which the Lord God says, this is where you can meet me, and this is where I'll meet you. God meets sinners only in the crucified Lamb of God, Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us. And sinners come to God only by Christ Jesus, the crucified Lamb of God, Christ, our Passover sacrificed for us. You cannot come to God, and God will not receive you any other way. You cannot come to God by your merit, by your works, by your worth. You cannot come to God by religious ceremonies and rituals. You cannot come to God by coming to the front of a church or coming to the church house. You cannot come to God by coming to a preacher or coming to a priest. You cannot come to God by coming to Mary or coming to Don. You can't come to God except by Christ the Lord. And God won't come to you any other way. God will not speak, nor will He be spoken to by any man apart from Jesus Christ, the sinner's substitute. The Lord God speaks plainly and tells us this is how He will dwell with His people and how He will sanctify His people. Turn back to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus 29, verse 38. This is how God shows His glory and sanctifies us by His glory. Exodus 29, verse 38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. Verse 41. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you and speak there unto thee. Right here, at the place of sacrifice, I'll meet you. Right here, at the place of sacrifice, I'll speak to you. Verse 43. There will I meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. Verse 46. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Now don't miss this. According to the typical revelation of the law given here in Exodus 29, sanctification was by the sacrifice of a lamb. And in verse 43, we're told that God's glory is in the sacrifice of a lamb. Does that ceremonial law, do these morning and evening sacrifices, mean that we should understand that God's people are sanctified, made holy, saved altogether by Christ the Lamb of God? Does that mean that God's glory is revealed, made known, and maintained only by Christ the Lamb of God? That's exactly what it means. Salvation is in the Lamb. God's glory is in the Lamb. And by the sacrifice of Christ alone, men and women come to know God. By the sacrifice of Christ alone, in the experience of salvation, sinners come to know the glory of God. Martin Luther referred to the fall of Adam in the garden as a blessed fall. And Luther was right. Had Adam never fallen in the garden, we could never have known the glory of God in redemption. Brother Carol Poole told me the other night, he brought a message, a very good message on speechless before the Lord. And he got done preaching. We were chatting a little while outside the motel. And he said, Brother Caldwell used to say that we fell up. And that's a good way to put it. We didn't fall to fall into hell. Oh no, God's elect fell with all men in Adam, but we fell up that we, by the experience of the fall, might know the glory of God in the saving of our souls. And this is all in the Lamb of our God. Now, with that as the background, let's look at our text. Exodus 34, 29, or 19 and 20. The title of my message is A Lamb for an Ass. A Lamb for an Ass. The Lord God declared, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. God says, give me all the firstborn. I claim the firstborn as mine. Of all men and of all beasts. But what about the unclean? What about the unclean? God says the firstborn of every man and the firstborn of every beast is mine. It's mine. But God gave a strict prohibition. You were not allowed to bring the unclean to God and sacrifice it on God's altar. That was strictly forbidden in the law. In fact, the way the Jews' altar was mocked in the days of their great persecution was the slaughter of a hog and spreading swine's blood upon God's altar. The unclean was a mockery of God's worship. God said, the first fruits are the firstborn. That's mine, of every man and of every animal. But he said, the unclean, you can't bring that to me. You can't bring that to me. Well, how then can the firstborn of the unclean be brought to God, offered to God, and accepted by God? How can the unclean be brought to God, sacrificed to God, and accepted by God? God gives us the answer. Look here at Exodus 34, verse 19. All that openeth the matrix is mine. And every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. Now, let me show you four things from these two verses of Scripture. Four things taught throughout the Scripture, but set before us plainly here in these two verses. Number one, the ass being an unclean thing could never be accepted by God. The ass, being an unclean thing, could never be accepted by God. And fallen man, let's talk about you and me. Fallen man, being unclean, can never be accepted by God. The ass, according to God's law, was unclean. In fact, according to the law, any animal was considered unclean that did not divide the hoof and chew the cud. By that standard, the ceremonial law, every man is unclean. But the Lord God sacrificed a lamb, his own darling son, the Lord Jesus, for chosen sinners, and makes the unclean altogether clean. Oh, wondrous, wondrous grace. Being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, we who are the sheep of God, the lambs of Christ's flock, are made fit far above all principalities and powers, made to sit down in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Lost and ruined by the fall. Utterly unclean we are by nature. We are made in Christ Jesus to be without spot, without blemish, and completely clean through the blood of God's dear Son. Now, I just had to tell you that first, but let me get to this point. Like the unclean ass, fallen man is incapable of acceptance with God. Listen to this. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. All our righteousnesses are filthy rags before God. We're unclean. The plowing of the wicked is an abomination to God. Everything the wicked man does because he does it is an abomination to God. It is that performed by a heart at enmity against God. It is that performed by a man whose heart loathes and hates God, and God will not receive it. So that the unclean, everything they touch, everything they do is unclean. You can't obey God's law. You can't do it. Your heart's corrupt. You can't obey God's law. Now, people talk about living by the law, and people march in the streets in protest because they want the Ten Commandments on the schoolroom walls and all those things so they can pretend to be good. But let me tell you something. Bill Riley, you violate every commandment of God every second you live. And you too. There are not any of us who are capable of keeping God's law. Not any of us capable of keeping God's law. Well, we do the best we can. And you do the best you can and think you're good. You do the best you can and think God wants to bother that. God doesn't require the best you can do. He requires perfection. We can't do anything in obedience to God's law. We can't do good. We can't, therefore, justify ourselves. We can't make ourselves clean. But look at the image of our text. A man might take his jackass and give it a good bath and make it smell good. But it's a jackass still. He might separate his ass from all the other animals of the earth and put it in a field all by itself, but it's still an ass. He might take his jackass and put it in a field full of sheep so that that's the only jackass in the whole field. Everybody else in that field, sheep. But that jackass is still a jackass. You can't make him clean by changing his company or changing his outward appearance. You might even, by some torturous means, take the jackass and split his four hooves so that he has the cloven hoof, and like the unclean, he now has the cloven hoof. But he's still a jackass. All you've done is tortured the animal. So it is with you and me. Man does much to make himself appear clean, especially in his own eyes. Now, it's important to all of us that we appear clean to others. But we do much to try to make ourselves appear clean in our own eyes. But it can't be done. The only way the unclean ass can be made clean and acceptable with God, the only way it could ever be sanctified to the Lord, a lamb had to be slain in its stead. So it is with fallen man. The only way sinners can be clean with God is through the precious blood of God's darling Son. Do you understand that? You can't be clean before God any other way. Only by the sacrifice of Christ, God's holy lamb. Salvation doesn't come any other way. Now, men have been trying since Adam sowed fig leaves to cover his nakedness in the garden. Men have been trying in every age, in every place, in every generation to do something to supplement God's work. People go to a priest. Some of you folks raise papists. You go to a priest and you rub your rosary beads. And you've been taught from infancy that's going to make it better. But you know it doesn't. You're still tormented with guilt. So others raised in Baptist churches like you were here. And Baptist churches, most everywhere, got altars in the front. Used to it. I don't know what they got anymore, but I haven't been in those places in a long time. But you come to church and you get feeling bad and you go make a profession of faith. And somebody says, well, now you're forgiven. And they send you home telling you saved. And you may as well rub your rosary beads. It hadn't helped a bit. And after that, you fall away and you want to rededicate up, so you come forward again and kneel at the same altar again and rub your rosary beads some more, repeat the same prayer, and you now everything's all right. And you go home and you lay down at night and anticipate hell, and you realize nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. You see, your fig leaves will never make you clean. And they'll never hide you from God's eye of strict justice. It won't happen. All right, first thing. The ass was unclean, and you and I are unclean. Second, the Lord God would not receive the ass. He refused to accept the ass because it was unclean. Yet He would not relinquish His claim upon the ass. Look what He says. All that openeth the matrix is mine. It is mine. It belongs to me. Only to me. It's mine. Everything that comes out of the womb first, that's mine. You can't have it. You can't use it. It's mine. Only mine. Only mine. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. God claimed all the firstborn of man and beast, clean and unclean, and it's a claim that He refused to relinquish. Now you listen to me. I'm telling you what this book teaches from beginning to end. You belong to God. You belong to God. Rebel all you will. Fuss all you will. Dislike it all you will. Rebel against everything you hear all you will. You still belong to God. The potter owns the clay, and he can do with it what he will. The sinner can't be accepted by God. The sinner can't serve God, but God still holds His claim on the sinner. And He will not relinquish the claim. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, God says, and be ye holy, for I am holy. The Apostle Peter quotes from that passage of Scripture and says, as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, people tell us all the time, God will not require of a man something he can't do. Man can't be held responsible for what he can't do. But that simply isn't true. As the Lord God commanded Abraham, so He commands Don Ranieri. So He commands Don Fortner. And so He commands you. Walk before me and be perfect. It must be perfect to be accepted. Now, being accepted and being His is two different things. You belong to God, but He will never accept you except you be perfect before Him. Your inability to pay your debt doesn't remove your debt. Your inability to obey God's law doesn't relieve you of the responsibility to obey God's law. And I hasten to add this. Your inability to trust Christ as your Savior and Lord doesn't relieve you of the responsibility of doing so. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That means, son, God commands you to believe on His Son. God commands you to believe. He that believeth not the Son of God has made God a liar. Unbelief is not a matter of indifference. Unbelief is not something to be looked at and say, well, that's just too bad. He can't help himself. He doesn't believe. We understand faith is the gift of God. And no man can believe God except God work faith in him. But unbelief is the doing of rebels and their deliberate doing, refusing to bow to God Almighty. Let's see if that's not how the book presents it. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Unbelief is not man's misfortune. It's his sin. Therefore it is written, he that believeth not shall be damned. He that persists in believing not, he that continues to say no to God, he who sticks his fingers in his ears and says, I won't hear God, he who covers his eyes and says, I will not see, he who turns his back and says, I will not walk that way, that man is going to meet with death, and justly so. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. Hear God speak. Hear God speak. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. What did he say? God said, if you'll turn to me, I'll pour out my spirit on you. That's what it sounded like, isn't it? That's what he said. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. I'm preaching the gospel to you now, and we beseech you, as God speaking by us, be ye reconciled to God. That's the language of Scripture. And as God speaks through his servant, God speaks to you, and he says, I stretched out my hand, and you refused. You did not regard. Verse 23. But you said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I've been preaching some of you all your life, and you come and you're nice enough to me, and you hear what God said, and you say, well, we'll set that over there. But don't let that bother anything. Don't let that interfere with my life. Don't let that disturb anything. We'll just set his counsel aside. God doesn't mean anything. God's word doesn't really mean anything. Unbelief doesn't really mean anything. I'm good, moral, everybody likes me. I'm getting along fine. Read what it says. Verse 26. Since you've laughed at me, I'll laugh at you. Since you've been mocking me, I'll mock you. Since you said no to me, I'll say no to you. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, now watch this. If you go to hell, it'll be your fault. Therefore, if you go to hell, it'll be by your own hand. Therefore, if you go to hell, it will be the result of what you choose. Therefore, because they set aside all my counsel, they despised all my reproof, therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, whosoever believes God's word, whosoever bows to God's throne, whosoever trusts God's self, shall be quiet, shall dwell safely, and be quiet from the fear of evil. The wise man says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall be shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The ass couldn't be accepted, but it still belonged to God. And fallen man cannot be received as he is, sinful, guilty, and unclean. But God won't relinquish his claim. He says, redeem the ass, sacrifice it to me, or break its neck. The Lord Jesus says this, every idle word that men speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. The ass, not redeemed, take a bat and break his neck. The sinner who will not believe, take a bat and break his neck forever in hell. If you will not be sanctified to him, he will condemn you. If you refuse to trust Christ, he that believeth not is condemned already, and you shall be a called account in the day of judgment. Here's the third thing. The Lord God met the difficulty by providing a substitute. The unclean ass could be redeemed by a lamb. The unclean ass was redeemed by a lamb. The unclean ass was brought to God and accepted by God by the blood of a lamb. What a sweet picture of redemption and grace by Christ Jesus. You see, you and I are like the wild, unclean ass. Job says, vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. You and I, by nature, are like the wild ass's colt, foolish, senseless, stubborn, given to every lust and debauchery, wild, that's our nature. As the ass will not bear the yoke unless it's broken and tamed, so none will ever bear the yoke of Christ until broken by him and tamed by his grace. Man by nature is like a wild ass, used to the wilderness that snuffeth up wind at her pleasure. You put the yoke of Christ on him, he kicks and bites and refuses. We see these pictures of the donkeys and old men and old women riding them, and you think they're such cute little things. You'd like to have one for pet if you just had room. Well, they're not that way. They're not that way. I haven't been around them much, but I've been around them enough to know this. They kick and they bite. They kick and they bite. You try to get them to do something, if they can't do anything else, they'll just sit down, stubborn. They kick, and they bite, and they're stubborn. And you can do what you want to. Get them in the house of God, try to get them to worship God and serve God, and get them to believe the gospel of God's grace, and they kick, and they bite, and they sit down, they're stubborn. They're stubborn. Until broken and tamed by the Savior, ridden by him. Like he rode that wild ass's colt into Jerusalem on his inaugural day. I recall years ago when Brother Bob Lips was alive and lived out here on Airport Road. And they raised those purebred show horses. They didn't break them the way you see them do it on television. In the westerns. They didn't want to break the spirit. They didn't want to break the spirit. They gentled them. So that horse is still full of spunk. Just full of himself. They gentle the horse. That's the way they want him. Now that may be a good way to train horses. And it may be a good way to train men. But that's not how God saves sinners. The Lord Jesus puts the bit and bridle in you and throws His saddle on you and rides you down to the ground until He breaks you and thereby makes you willing to serve Him. But the wild ass must be redeemed. Redeemed by blood and redeemed by grace. Redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And we who are God's have been bought with the price of Christ's precious blood. The substitute. There's an ass, unclean. Got two choices. You can kill him or redeem him. You bring a lamb. A clean, innocent, spotless, healthy, perfect lamb. And you bring him to the priest. And the priest slits his throat. And you take the ass. Say, it's the Lord's. Well, that's what Christ did for us. God's holy lamb. The innocent. The righteous. The pure. The perfect. The spotless, willingly gave His life in our room instead and redeemed us to God with His own precious blood. He died that we might live. He was cursed that we might never be cursed. He was rejected that we might be forever accepted. He was despised that we might be forever approved. He was forsaken that we might never be forsaken. That's called substitution. Christ died for us. I remember years ago, Brother Mahan and I were traveling together, and he told a story. He had met a family and had dinner with them when he was preaching one time, and a little girl, young lady now, spoke so lovingly, so admirably of her daddy. And Henry got her alone and he said to us, I've observed how you talk about your daddy. Tell me about him. He must have been a special man. She said, oh, Brother Mahan, he was. He said, my daddy wasn't healthy. He said, he knew he couldn't take any stress, physical stress of any kind. He had a bad heart. And one day we were at the beach when I was a little girl. I was 5 years old. And I got out in the water too far. And my daddy called me and I didn't hear him. And I got out a little further and he hollered and I didn't hear him. And she said, my daddy ran and dove in the water and swam to where I was and brought me to shore and laid down across my legs and dropped dead with a heart attack. She said, I'm here because my daddy gave his life for me. I'm here because my Savior gave His life for me that I might be God's. Accepted in the beloved by the blood of God's darling Son in Christ my substitute. Brother Don, how can I know that Christ died for me? Believe it. Right where you are, don't say a prayer, don't say a word, don't move a muscle, don't come to the front, don't bow your head, don't close your eyes. Right where you are, come to God by faith in His Son. Come to God believing His Son. If you can, it's because He chose to redeem you rather than break your neck. It's because He chose to redeem you by the sacrifice of Himself. Now, one last thing. The law declares, if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. There's no alternative. Every firstling of an ass must either be redeemed by a lamb, or it must be slain at God's altar. You must have Christ as your substitute, or justice demands you. You must have Christ's blood shed for you. Our justice demands the everlasting letting of your soul's blood under the wrath of God in hell. Calvary or hell, Christ or damnation, forever clean or forever unclean. There's no alternative. Believe or be damned. Now, if you believe, if you believe on the Son of God, you have everlasting life. You have been redeemed by the sacrifice of God's Lamb. Oh, God help you to believe. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, to them that believe on the Son of God, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, preacher, not me. That's good enough for you superstitious folks. That's good enough for you folks who are weak enough to need religion and need God and need a Savior. That's good enough for you folks who are so wicked you think you've got to have something to appease God and satisfy your own conscience. But not me! Not me. I won't have your God. I won't have your Savior. I won't believe on God's Son. Well, on the judgment day, I'll say amen while God breaks your neck. And so will everybody else, yourself included. Amen.